Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Landon Tangwall. Landon, it's the off season. I keep saying it, but there is just so much to talk about, isn't there?
There absolutely is, Jim. Lot to get to. I'm excited, and I think we got a good one for the fans today.
I think so too. But before we get started, a public service announcement, Landon. I've always wanted to say that public service announcement. Tuesday night, Landon and I are both going to be at the We Are In in Phillipsburg. A fantastic place, by the way, especially if you're a Penn State fan. Pat Romano runs the place fantastically. There's a Penn State theme going on there. But we're going to be involved in an event with the basketball team, the Penn State basketball team. I hate to say it, the event is sold out. However, Landon and I will be doing a special edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Should we call it the Keystone Tip-Off Show, Landon?
I guess we have to change it around, Jim. I mean, we're not on the field anymore. We're on the court.
So we'll call it the Keystone Tip-Off Show. 7 o'clock on Tuesday night, and if you want to listen to the show, it's going to be live streaming. You can get it, and it's going to be on the radio on 98.7 The Fox in State College. So if you're in State College area, you could listen to it there. You could go to their website, 987 The Fox. It will be streaming there. And I know you all have our Keystone Sports app. You could go there. You'll see the Fox Sports button. You can live stream it. And if you can't get to it Tuesday night, it will be on our normal podcast level there too. Pick it up starting on Wednesday or so. Landon, I'm really looking forward to it. We're going to have some of the coaches around, some of the players. I'm really excited about that one.
Oh, me too, Jim. We're gonna get some good insight from the team there. Like you said, get to talk to a couple of different coaches, a couple of different NIL personnel people around Penn State, then obviously the players. So I think it's gonna be great. It's gonna be great for the fans to get some insight and kind of see this basketball program, who is, you know, a newer program, 9 new guys, I think 8 transfers, a freshman. So a lot of personalities to get to know for the fans, and you know, obviously a couple heartbreakers so far. But also a couple really good games. So, you know, we're excited to see where Coach Rhodes takes this team.
Yeah, while we're down the basketball path, let's talk about this game the other day. As you mentioned, second overtime loss in the last 3 games. That sandwiched around a really nice win against Ohio State with a huge comeback. But the point of emphasis, this game against Georgia Tech on Saturday, Penn State lost by a point. 2 foul shots in the last 2 seconds of the game for Georgia Tech to win the game. Georgia Tech got a couple opportunities as time was running out in overtime. There was a loose ball, and they called a foul on Ace Baldwin. I see you right now shaking your head, Landon. Was that about as bad a call as you've seen on the basketball court in a long time?
I mean, just awful, Jim. As a ref, you have to understand your place in the game, and you can't take the game away like that. You can't give them 2 shots with 2 seconds left. It's just bad officiating. And you know, it'd be one thing if it was a questionable call and it was close. And I still don't know if you really make that call anything that's ticky tacky in that area with that type of game and you know in that situation. I think it has to be an obvious penalty, of obvious you know foul that you know just wasn't there. And I just think the refs kind of took the game away from him. And you know, Coach Rhodes, he did a good job in the presser afterwards, not fully blaming the refs, but you know, I don't know what else there was to say. I thought it was pretty evident that, you know, they kind of just took the game away from Penn State there and didn't really give them a chance.
You know, you and I were chatting before we got started here and talking about the play, and I told you, you know, my experience officiating basketball years and years ago, you're supposed to be consistent throughout the game. That's just a theory. The reality is, at the end of a game, you don't want to, as the official, be the one who decides the game. And I'm not saying you don't call fouls, but like you said, make darn sure. It's really got to affect the game. Well, this one wasn't even a case of it affecting the game. There was nothing there. that there was not a foul there if that was the first minute of the game. If it was the third minute of the game, there was nothing there, Landon.
There wasn't. There was no contact. And, you know, I didn't see which ref called it, but, you know, I assume he it looked like he tripped and fell because there were some bodies. But, I mean, when you see the replay, there no one even touches him. He just falls backwards and they bail him out. And, you know, similar to how, you know, on a Hail Mary or if a quarterback's thrown it up, you know, late in the fourth quarter and it's obviously a little bit of desperation, the refs, they let them play. You don't, you know, you give the guys a little bit more opportunity. It's a little more 50-50 than normal. And, yeah, just awful. And it's a heartbreaker for Penn State, you know, especially, you know, a couple other tough overtime losses. And, you know, so big ups and big downs so far for the Penn State basketball team. But, you know, I think we're looking at a team that's starting to put it together. You know, as we've mentioned, it's hard coming in with a bunch of new guys and kind of gelling and a new coach. So it's hard from that standpoint to gel as a team. But, you know, I think we're starting to see them get used to playing with each other. I think there's some things that they could definitely improve on. I think sometimes we're putting up bad shots. You know, I think we saw, you know, Ace there towards the end. Could have probably got a better shot off, you know, right before that penalty that we had with about 10, 12 seconds left. The, you know, off balance shot kind of, you know, a little bit fading away. I think we could have gotten a better shot off there. But overall, I think the team, you know, you see them playing a lot better together, playing, you know, complementary basketball.
I believe you're right. And I'll give a positive and a negative reaction. I think the fact they played well when they lost to Maryland also in overtime, I thought they played pretty well against Georgia Tech. What I like seeing is we know Kanye Clary, we know Ace Baldwin, they're players. They're very good players. What I like seeing is a couple other guys. DeMarco Dunn has really stepped up these last couple games and been a real factor. And then we saw Puff Johnson held scoreless, I believe, in the first half of this Georgia Tech game and put up 15 in the second half in overtime. That gives them more weapons. I think that's so important. And those couple other guys doing things, that opens up more things for Baldwin and Clary. What they do have to fix, though, is this rebounding situation, Landon. I don't know if you're ready to step on the court yourself, but they could use a big guy and pull down some boards. They were out rebounded total 54-32, and I know especially in the first half, the number of offensive rebounds they gave up were just way too many.
Yeah, it was the numbers were pretty bad. And then, you know, just kind of overall in the paint too. I mean, Georgia Tech 42-28 as far as points in the paint. You know, just getting killed on the boards, it's hard. And like you said, I don't know, we might have to give, you know, if you watched the show last week, Tyler Warren, I gave him a shout out for being one of the best basketball players around. But what I didn't tell you is that, and I think we might have had this conversation is, you know, that we'd play 3v3, kind of getting off topic here, but we play 3v3. And I told, you know, we play at the yards, the team does in the summer. And, you know, Tyler was the shooter on his team. Well, he had Olu Fashanu and Nick Dawkins as his defense and rebounders. So they were – so I don't know. So we're talking about, you know, being in the paint. I know Olu Fashanu is, you know, about to go make $30 million, you know, coming shortly. But maybe we offer him an NIL deal to come get in the paint for the Nittany Lions here on the basketball team. But, no, that's definitely – you know, obviously – you know, it's hard when you don't have, I don't think, a true center. And then you go against guys, you know, you look at Purdue and they got big, huge, you know, seven-footers like Zach Edey and those guys. It's hard to go against. So, you know, I think, you know, Coach Rhodes right now, he just has to find a way, you know, creative way when you're playing with a little bit of a smaller team to just find a way, crash those boards. It's, you know, but you can't get dominated like that, especially on the offensive boards. It's, I think at one point it was 10-0 in the first half for offensive boards. And that's, you know, that's just a recipe for a disaster. You're not going to be able to win that way. But I will say, you know, while getting killed on the boards, I mean, they really did start out well, 7-for-13 from the field starting out. Penn State did. And, you know, Georgia Tech they were shooting the ball well too. And, you know, so they Coach Rhodes is obviously coaching them well. They're fighting hard, but I just think there's those little things rebounding and, you know, just not having that full team chemistry that's still kind of hurting them.
It is. And I think there's a little bit – the problem is sometimes we get – or I do this. You see one thing happen and you say, aha, there's the issue. Well, no, that's not what's happening every time. Wahab is kind of left alone as the lone big guy. And you see, and it's, I have seen this multiple times where he comes over to help out to block a shot and intimidate the player at the very least. He causes them to adjust their shot. Well, the rotation isn't there behind him. You know, hit the man he's covering, who is also a big guy, is left open for the rebound. He's not being blocked out. And there's also times when, and it's the style of defense, where they're trapping up front, where Wahab, if his man is setting the pick, he'll come up and trap or switch. And not only are you susceptible to someone, you know, a little bit of a pick and roll, but they're also a little bit more, they're also unchecked as far as the rebounding goes. So
yeah.
I'll throw that net. Oh, well, go ahead. I'll let you.
Yeah, no, and honestly, yeah, and I think part of that is, like I said, not fully playing together. When, you know, when you've played with someone for 2-3 years, you know, you can trust, you can know that, you know, when, and like we talked about, we play an aggressive style of defense where we're, you know, we're trapping, you know, it's, and then, you know, on all, you know, on defense as well, when you, you know, just, it's hard when, you know, you're one-on-one with someone and you haven't played with them for a while. You haven't played with your teammates for a while. You know, you're getting picks set on you. You're not communicating well enough. And you're just getting out of position, really. And it's a lot easier when you have played with someone you can trust. You know where they're going to be. You say, okay, you know, I feel this pick getting set. I know, you know, my man knows exactly where he's going to be. He's going to be, you know, right here, ready to pick up this guy off the dribble. And when, like I said, when you haven't played with someone for a while, it's hard to have that trust to know. And sometimes there's that confusion. There's that, you know, not being able to rely on someone. So I think, you know, that's something that obviously we're going to, you know, they'll work on in practice, work on those rotations, work on, you know, rebounding position, things of that nature. Coach Rhodes spoke to a lot of that in his presser after the game. Just those little things. I think, you know, that's sometimes you lose picture of the little fundamentals. Not to throw a shout out here and get off topic, but I saw that Philadelphia Eagles had they were posting all week back to the fundamentals. They said that the your boys got knocked down. So when you get knocked down, you know, even if you're the Philadelphia Eagles or the Penn State basketball team, you go back to the drawing boards, you get back to the fundamentals, and you get back to work. I had to throw a jab on your team there, though, Jim.
Appreciate it, Landon. Appreciate it. All right, on that note, we're wrapping up quarter one. Stick around. We got lots more to go in quarter two. This is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all our loyal listeners. As we approach the football offseason, a reminder that we will be here year-round talking Penn State football with all your old favorites, Dustin, T. Frank, Andy, and Jeff, along with newcomers Landon and Sean. But that's not all. We plan on bringing you new shows on our podcast format where we take a more in-depth look at not only Penn State football, but also the other Penn State sports. So be sure to download our app, Keystone Sports.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Landon Tengwall. I am Jim Galante. I was ready to say we're here talking Penn State football, but we spent the first segment talking Penn State basketball. I promised to get to football, but I can't help myself, Landon. One last basketball note from the Penn State game the other day against Georgia Tech. In that second half, when they went into their full court press, when you give Ace Baldwin a chance to put pressure full court, my goodness, if you're on the opposing team, just stay away from him. Stay away from him. He's got the quickest hands. You throw in there how quick Clary is. I like that full court press from this team.
I do too, Jim. It's dangerous, and you know, shout out Ace. That's Baltimore right there. I'm right outside of Baltimore, so I gotta give a shout out to my guy. And we're scrappy from over there, man. We play good defense, and you pull up the seventh grade AAU tape from my day, you'll see the same thing. No, I'm just kidding. There was a reason I stopped after seventh grade. I transitioned to football after that.
Well, I told you at one point I lived in Philadelphia for a lot of years, and one of my favorite things was there would be these summer basketball tournaments, and you'd get high school basketballers from Philadelphia, and they would go out of the area. There were some guys even from Northern Jersey, like St. Anthony's from up there. My goodness, the aggressive defense. If you like that kind of pressure defense, you would have loved that, Landon. All right.
You don't think you could have gone out there with them? A little pickup. Well, how old were you when you were living in Philly? I think you could hold your own, Jim. I mean, you showed me a couple of pictures of you playing back in the day. That was when you had a full head of hair, though, so I don't know.
A full head of hair and a less full midsection there, Landon. That was about 50 pounds ago. And I'll tell you what, when I watched them play, the most impressive thing watching these high school ballers was how they would pick up man-to-man length of the court. And as soon as the opposing team's guard got the ball, it was almost like a open-handed punch to the chest. It's like, I'm letting you know I'm here. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to be with you. And it was so physical. It was great. It was definitely a physical brand of basketball. And I suspect you would be someone who really enjoyed that. But I loved it. And especially when you see it from the guards. You know, and I'm watching Ace Baldwin play. Yeah, I could picture him in that environment playing that real physical brand of basketball on a playground. I could just see Ace Baldwin just really intimidating people. Anyway, all right, enough basketball, Landon. We'll get more of that Tuesday night when we get together for the special event. Let's go back to Penn State football. A lot of press conferences over the last week. A lot of announcements, declarations for the draft, that they're playing the Peach Bowl. So let's hit on some of that news. One of the big things, it's been a conversation ever since Manny Diaz left. First of all, there's the open defensive coordinator position, but more immediately, there was the question of how to handle the Peach Bowl, and it seemed like they're going to follow the model that they did from the offensive side, which was to have two guys, Anthony Poindexter and Rob Smith, combining the defensive coordinator duties. My first question, we all know who Anthony Poindexter is. Who's Rob Smith, Landon?
Yeah. No, Rob Smith, he's been an analyst for us for a little bit. He's a great coach. You know, one of those guys you come up to and ask him about life. He's got a lot of experience in the coaching world, NFL, college, and on down. Really, really great guy. He was at Duke for the defensive coordinator job in 2021, and they went 9-4 that year. Had a fantastic defense. Ended up winning the Military Bowl. So you know he's got a good resume, and the players really like him. It's cool when you have you know those type of analysts around who are not exactly you know directly involved as far as coaching you know on the field, but you know they're the type of people they'll see something in film. They'll pull you aside and say, you know, hey. You know, I worked with this guy, and they'll name drop some legendary NFL player, and they'll say, you know, this worked, you know, XYZ, this worked for him to use his hands this way, and that type of thing, and they just have these really awesome tidbits, and we've had a couple of those type of guys around recently. We had Ken Wisenhunt for about a 2-year span, anybody isn't familiar with Ken Wisenhunt, you know, was head coach for the Cardinals when they went to the Super Bowl. Offensive coordinator for the Steelers back when they won in 2005 with Big Ben. So to have those type of guys around the program, it's really cool to sit there and kind of just pick their brains. And they've just been around so much success and so many great NFL players. And, you know, when Coach Wisenhunt was here, I'm a diehard Steelers fan, unfortunately, if you've just saw the third loss in a row after that horrific Colts loss yesterday. But I would be in Wisenhunt's ear. I'm like, you know, what did Ben do in this situation? Or, you know, what was it like being on that team? And these guys are Joey Porter. And, it's great to have those type of conversations. And, you know, similar thing with Rob Smith. Been around the block, been around a ton of great teams. So, you know, I think that's great that him and Coach Poindexter kind of heading up the defensive unit. And then obviously talking about you know, Coach Poindexter. We've talked about him some in the past. Fantastic guy, a culture guy who everybody in the locker room loves him, type of guy that, you know, you'd want to play for. And I think something that's underestimated and we've talked about previously is the fact that guys want to play for Manny Diaz. They love him. They want to, you know, put their heart, they put everything on the line for him. And I think you find a similar, quality of that in Coach Poindexter, and the fact that everybody loves him, his guys are going to want to play for him. Been here for a little bit. He's established really good relationships with a lot of players and people in the building. So to, you know, continue to see him step up and, hopefully I think a lot of people around the organization are hoping he gets the official stamp of defensive coordinator here for next season. But I just think that'd be fantastic for the guys just being in and around that. You see when a coach has a great impact on his players, and Coach Poindexter is one of those guys. So, you know, I'd love to see him elevated to head defensive coordinator for good.
Let's talk about that a little bit, Landon. I've had this discussion with a couple of the guys here on the air and people off the air, and the discussion of whether to go outside the program or stay inside. And the way I expressed it is, on offense, they wanted changes to the offense. They weren't happy with how things were going. It made sense to go outside. On defense, my take is this defense has been so good the last couple of years, I want to roll it back again. I want to see more of the same. Now, what it came down to as a question or the debate was, can you bring one of the guys who've been on the staff, like an Anthony Poindexter, and even if you're not totally duplicating everything Manny Diaz did, the fact is you'd have some consistency going forward with the style of play, with the players. So how much could a Anthony Poindexter take over and keep it rolling with the same style and same type of defense?
Yeah, as you mentioned, when a unit is succeeding like our defense has, you're going to see promotions. You're going to see, defensive coaches get, you know, job offers other places. And in this case, I'm sure, you know, Coach Poindexter is getting a lot of different teams interested in, you know, in him, not only for the defensive coordinator job, but I mean, we're talking about, you know, a year or two ago was even getting a look for the Virginia head coaching job. So this is obviously someone that is, you know, viewed in very high regards in the whole, college football coaching world. But, you know, like you said, when everything's kind of not going the way you want it, you know, with our offense this year, it's, you know, showed some promise there at the end. But, you know, you kind of, to a certain extent, you want to scrap it, start over, especially when you have the talent that we have, and say, okay, you know, how can we get our guys the ball? How can we, you know, allow them to make plays? And so when your defense is thriving the way it is, you want to say, okay, how can we continue to, you know, how can we, you know, take this formula and do it again with a different coach. And, you know, I think Coach Poindexter, you know, being under Coach Diaz for 2 years, understanding kind of his philosophy, and, you know, every coach is a little bit different with, you know, how they coach their players and how they go about the day ins and day outs of just being in the football building. But I tend to find Coach Poindexter and Coach Diaz, more similar than not in their coaching styles. And I think that's another reason that the players will really just gravitate towards Coach Poindexter, you know, taking over that head job versus bringing in someone else. When you bring in someone else, it is a fresh start, but, you know, a fresh start also means a whole lot of new learning, a whole lot of, you know, new communication, understanding how a coach coaches, his techniques, I think that being kind of really similar to Coach Diaz would be really beneficial to his players. And I think Coach Franklin understands that and knows that.
Talk to me a little bit. I know you mentioned it earlier. It's not just about the X's and O's and teaching that. There's also those leadership skills, those intangibles. I want to go to war for this guy type attitude. Tell me about how important that is and how much Anthony Poindexter can be that type of guy.
Yeah, it's uber important, especially as a defense. You know, as an offense, when you're executing plays, you're trying to get a guy open, get him in space. In a defense, you got to go out there and you're trying to put someone in a body bag, man. I mean, you're trying to come down and lay the boom. Kobe King put his shoulder into someone, and it's a lot easier to do that Like, I've spoken about this before. When you're really motivated for your coach and want to make a play for him, and you'll see guys, and, you know, they'll get a pick. Jalen Reed, those type of guys, they'll get a pick and they'll run over to Coach Diaz and they'll hand him the ball, or they'll make sure they're getting up and shoulder bumping Coach Diaz. And, you know, and as I've talked about before, there's guys that it's just not like that, you know, as coaches. They don't really want to make plays for their coaches. It's kind of, you know, whatever. They're not, you know, they're more about themselves, or, you know, they're guys in the position room. But it kind of just creates a specific culture. And, you know, when a defense is so successful, it starts to, you know, it affects the offense. It affects the special teams. You know, Manny Diaz would get up and he'd be talking to the defense in the team meeting room. And I mean, the offense would be completely just glued on him and you know, looking around and saying, hey, like this message is legit. You know, let's not let them come out here. And, you know, Manny would give them some message about how they need to come out today and be on, you know, hair on fire. And we're looking around and, you know, hey, that's against us. We can't let that happen. So he's getting us fired up too. We're like, all right, yeah, let's do this. You know, you need that type of coach to light a fire under you. And I think that's exactly what Coach Poindexter, you know, has in him. He would always come over to the offense and kind of rile them up, say a couple things to them. And, you know, Coach Diaz wasn't exactly like that. He was a little more quiet towards the offense. But I think, you know, I think Coach Poindexter is going to do a really great job motivating these guys and, you know, have them wanting to make plays for this Penn State defense.
Well, you've got me excited for the possibility of Anthony Poindexter taking over. It would be nice to see a real successful bowl game with him pulling the strings. And as a fan, I just love the style of play that we've seen on this defense, and I hope to see more of that in the future. So that's why I'm with you. I'm voting for Anthony Poindexter to take over. All right, that's it for quarter number two. Stick around. Lots more football to talk about. This is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all our loyal listeners. As we approach the football offseason, a reminder that we will be here year-round talking Penn State football with all your old favorites, Dustin, T. Frank, Andy, and Jeff, along with newcomers, Landon and Sean. But that's not all. We plan on bringing you new shows on our podcast format where we take a more in-depth look at not only Penn State football, but also the other Penn State sports. So be sure to download our app, Keystone Sports.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Landon. I'm Jim. We're talking Penn State football. But before we get started with quarter number three, just another reminder, Landon and I will be doing a special edition of the show, Keystone Tip-Off Show, Tuesday night in Phillipsburg at the We Are Inn. And a quick shout-out to the We Are Inn. What a great place. If you're a Penn State fan, Pat Romano runs the place. Big Penn State fan, has all the Penn State stuff there. Great place to go. It's with the collective in conjunction for the basketball team. There'll be the coaches there, players there. I'm saying that, but the event is sold out. However, we will be broadcasting from there. If you want to listen to it, if you're in State College, tune in to 98.7 The Fox. If you're not in State College, you could go to our app. You'll see the 98.7 The Fox streaming button. You could go there and listen to us live. That's 7 o'clock Tuesday evening from Phillipsburg and the We Are In. All right, Landon, let's get back to football and the Penn State news. A lot of players have to make decisions this year whether to move on or not. To Penn State's credit, most of the players who have decisions to make and are announcing that they will be in the NFL draft are still choosing to play in the Peach Bowl. I think that speaks well of the program that the players still want to play in this bowl game, have one last game together.
Yeah, it's definitely a culture thing. You know, and part of that's also playing in, obviously, a New Year's Six bowl game. It's exciting. You know, you have that last opportunity with your teammates to really just kind of be a kid, spend a week down, you know, Atlanta, Georgia, and just kind of have a good time with your teammates for one last hoorah. So I think, you know, a lot of guys don't want to take that for granted. And Coach Franklin does a good job. even bringing guys back and having them talk to us and say, you know, things like, hey, you know, this college thing, it's one of the last times that, you know, you get to really, truly enjoy football where it's not a true job and, you know, all the politics and that stuff are in it. And you just get to be with your boys and just enjoy time with it. Because, you know, once you get to the NFL, you might have a really great friend. And the next minute, boom, he just got booted out of the team. And now he's a free agent, that type of thing. So it's really cool to know you have this opportunity with guys you've been with for 4 or 5 years. You know, one last hurrah and just enjoy that time with them. So I think Coach Franklin is doing a great job of kind of managing that. And then the team understands, you know, kind of the expectation from that standpoint. And I think Theo Johnson had the quote the other day after practice, you know, leaders play, you know, meaning that if, you know, if you're a leader, if you, you know, if you're a guy here, you finish it out and you play in the bowl game. So obviously not everybody's going to do that. And everybody's going to be, you know, wanting to stick around, and they have obviously other aspirations, and, you know, not going to fault anybody. And there are injuries, and we've seen that with a couple guys around college football where you get, you know, injured in one of these last games, and it can really affect your stock. So completely understand it from that standpoint, especially someone who played. But, you know, it's disheartening for some people, some fans, when, you know, they see guys opt out. But I think, you know, Penn State football team's doing a really good job of, you know, and I think that speaks to the type of guys they recruit, high value, high culture guys that want to win for the program.
You know, Landon, I have this discussion with a lot of fans, exactly as you pointed out, where the fans are very disappointed in those players who choose to opt out. And it starts to become this, it's only an exhibition game, so that's why they're not playing. Well, if they're not playing there, what was the meaning of the Michigan State game? Nothing changed whether they win or lose that game. Mm-hmm. And it's a risk. And I get all that, but I think what gets lost is that it's an individual decision, and individuals have different circumstances and just different feelings on it. And that I often put out the question, if this were your son, you know, would you be upset with him saying, you know, Pop, I've got $1 million or multi-million-dollar contract coming up in the spring. The only thing that can screw that up is me getting hurt in this bowl game. What do you think?
Exactly. And, you know, you pose that question to 99% of the population, and they're saying, oh, you know, go for it. You gotta, you know, keep yourself safe and secure the money and that type of thing. And it is true. I mean, there, you know, people will say, well, there's always that risk when you go out on the field, and there is. But when you get to this point where, you know, it's pretty much guaranteed, let's say you're going to go day two and you're going to make $2 million. You know, if you're going around day two and you know, you have a serious injury, you know, that can bump you. You tear your ACL, you can go undrafted real easy, you know. And if you're not a day, you know, if you're not a first round guy and you have a serious injury, you know, that can truly affect your complete, you know, your whole outcome. So, you know, like you said, everybody has different scenarios and different things going on in their life. So, you know, stand behind, you know, the decisions that everybody makes on the team. And I know Coach Franklin does too. So he's done a really great job of that. And I think you continue to see more guys that are, you know, going to leave for the NFL, but play in the game. So that seems like kind of the what we're getting from the majority of the team here. I know we have a couple guys that still make that decision. But, you know, definitely, it's definitely looking out for Penn State fans as far as getting as many guys to play in this bowl game as possible.
Hey, let's go over a few of the names. We all know Chop Robinson has made that decision. And, you know, I'm going to look at this almost even outside of being a Penn State fan, but as being a football fan. I love watching Chop Robinson play. And where I've gotten even a better appreciation for him, Landon, is when I always watch the game live, but I'll always watch a replay where, okay, a big play, I could stop it, really take a look and study it for what we do here on the show. And in those replays, that's when I find myself kind of my eyes wandering over to just watch Chop Robinson play every down. And it's amazing, even when the play's away from him and not part of the play, the announcers don't say anything about him. But if you keep your eyes on him every play. It's like every play he beats somebody.
He does. He is one of the most explosive guys I've ever seen. It is really impressive to watch. And I, you know, as you're saying, Jim, I recommend it when you watch this guy in the league. If he's on your team, just take a second and watch him for a couple plays, and I promise you'll be impressed. Not easy to block him. I can promise you that. It was never a fun day. So, you know, we always talk about that. Going against Chop is one of the harder things, especially one-on-one in pass rush. So he's a special talent. And like you said, you have to understand when a guy's going to go first round, you know, if you're not in the college football playoffs, sometimes it's hard to look at that and say, hey, I, you know, anywhere from $20 to $30 million, and you want me, you know, to put that on the line for the Peach Bowl. So, you know, you got to understand where that's coming from. So, you know, like I said, everybody fully, you know, stands behind everybody who's making that decision not to play it. You know, it's obviously nothing against the team, and it's in their, you know, their best interest in their minds and their hearts. So we're fully behind that. And, you know, I know whoever, you know, we put out there and is going to play is going to make a great impact. And talked about it before. Coach Franklin does a great job of getting a ton of guys, a ton of reps throughout the season. And that's, you know, this is where it pays off. When you've got a couple guys that head out early, you got to call on those young guys. And, you know, I think that's good too. Put them in situations where it's big games. They got to perform. You know, that's what it's going to be next year. You got a bunch of big games next year against some really great, you know, opponents. And you got to be ready for that moment. So getting those younger guys some time to shine here, I think is a great opportunity for them.
And I think that's the way we as fans have to look at this. This is an opportunity to see the future a bit. However, not many Penn State players. I didn't mean to get totally off tangent on Chop Robinson, but it's just so exciting to talk about him and watch him play. I did see a report of Johnny Dixon would be choosing to opt out. I don't know if that's official or not, but I believe most of the other players who've made the decision to declare for the NFL draft are going to play in the Peach Bowl. Caden Wallace, Theo Johnson, Curtis Jacobs. Tyler Warren has said he's not, hasn't made the official decision of whether he's going to go into the draft or not, but said he would play in the Peach Bowl. That's a lot of talent that could have chosen not to play, but are choosing to come back. What do you think the strategy will be? It's come to be known as the Saquon Barkley plan from a few years back in the Fiesta Bowl, where Saquon chose to come back to play, and that's a running back, which may be the most dangerous position as far as, you know, those kind of injuries that affect you, but they just didn't play him a lot of snaps. Do you think we'll see a lot of that with these guys that I just mentioned?
Yeah, it's definitely a good possibility. And I think that's one of Coach Franklin's things that, you know, he says, you know, hey, you know, you've committed to this season. You know, we want you out there. You're a part of this team. You started week one with us. But, you know, I'll compromise. You know, we'll only play you about 50% of how we'd normally play you. You know, take a little bit of that risk off of, you know, possible injury, take some of those plays off. And then also while doing that, like I mentioned, getting younger guys reps. So, you know, I do think, like you mentioned, it started with Saquon, and I think it's a great method to get guys to stick around and still kind of have an impact on the team for that bowl game, but still limiting that chance of, you know, they're, you know, messing up their future in any way just because of what those type of guys that are, you know, still playing this game but declaring for the NFL have at stake. I mean, everybody you mentioned could easily be day two or even earlier, you know, type of guy. Talked about Caden Wallace too, is, you know, someone who's came in. I came in when he was in his third year here, and just a lot of growth from him. You know, he's a 4-year starter here. Really athletic guy, has always had a lot of potential. And I think he just put together easily his best season. To my memory, can't remember a sack that he gave up that was at all bad. You know, might have given up a, you know, long sack, you know, sitting in the pocket for a while, but really just, you know, obviously you have Olu on the left side, and everybody kind of always talked about Olu and didn't give up a sack. Barely gave up a pressure. I mean, he's top five NFL draft pick, but Caden Wallace, a really fantastic, that, you know, year on at right tackle. Definitely someone who wasn't talked about enough. Seen him on a couple different draft radars, and his stock is going up a lot. So I think, you know, a great Peach Bowl performance is also something that could even help his stock, you know, a lot more. And I think that's something that we haven't talked about yet, is, you know, you're on a big stage in these bowl games. And, you know, all eyes are on you because the bowl games, you know, there's no other games going on at the time. And, you know, you have a great game. You have a break, you know, even huge performance in a bowl game. I mean, that takes your stock up even more. So then that is kind of the downside to maybe opting out of the bowl game is, you know, hey, you had the opportunity to put a really big performance on the table for these NFL scouts and you're kind of taking that away from yourself. So that is kind of the other side of opting out of the bowl game. But, you know, definitely want to give Caden Wallace a shout out there and hopefully he continues his great season in this bowl game and stock continues to rise.
I'm glad you brought that up, Landon, because I do want to talk to you about what are the positives of playing in the bowl game. And then we talked about the decision whether or not to play in the bowl. Well, how about that decision to enter the NFL draft? We're going to talk about that when we come back. This is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all our loyal listeners. As we approach the football offseason, a reminder that we will be here year-round talking Penn State football with all your old favorites, Dustin, T. Frank, Andy, and Jeff, along with newcomers Landon and Sean. But that's not all. We plan on bringing you new shows on our podcast format where we take a more in-depth look at not only Penn State football, but also the other Penn State sports. So be sure to download our app, Keystone Sports.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Landon, I'm Jim. We're talking Penn State football leading up to the big bowl game. December 30th, noon, against Ole Miss in the Peach Bowl down in Atlanta. A great trip. I'll tell you what, if you follow the team, go to a bowl game, it's exciting, it's fun, a great event. Anyway, we were talking, Landon, about players making the decision, and most of the Penn State players have made the decision to play in the bowl game, but they're making this decision in conjunction with an NFL decision. When we wrapped up, though, you were mentioning playing in the bowl game could also be a positive. Yes, there is that, you know, risk of injury, as there always is in every game. But you pointed something out, and I think James Franklin did in his press conference last week, that this is also a chance for you as a player to show well, and there's more attention being paid. You're playing another very good team. A whole national audience is watching, and the NFL is watching, scouts are watching. This is a game on tape where you say, you know what, this isn't Penn State versus Podunk. This is Penn State versus a Southeast Conference 10-2 team. This is worth a lot in watching that game and how they perform, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I think when a scout goes to pop on the tape for a guy, you know, when you say, okay, I'm going to pop on this tape from, you know, this DN from Penn State. Well, I'm going to go to the Michigan. Let me go to the Michigan tape first. I want to see how they went, you know, up against that, you know, the best offensive line in college football, that type of thing. So now you're going against another 10-2 team, you know, not exactly Michigan or Ohio State, but definitely up there, you know, around the top 10 team. And, you know, you're saying, okay, well, I have a great opportunity to put some great tape on film against a great opponent, as you mentioned, an SEC team who's been really impressive all year, has some great players. And it's also one of those things, if you know the other team has a great player at the opposing position from you, and you say, okay, well, now I have an opportunity, someone else, maybe his draft stock is high, and you know, that gives me the opportunity. If I'm going against someone with some high draft stock, you know, I put a great game on film against him. Well, there goes my draft stock shooting up and his shooting down. You know what I mean? So there's definitely a lot of positives to playing. And then, you know, and then there's just winning the game, winning the bowl game, and, you know, confetti on the field and that moment with your teammates and the coaches, just kind of all coming to an end at the end of a long, you know, 5-month season. And when you start the season in August and it's August 1st, I to some extent, there is kind of that dreaming of that bowl game at the end of the season. You're sitting there and it's the dog days of summer and, you know, it's 95 out. You have 2 days and you're like, dude, just think when we're getting on that airplane to go to Atlanta or California or Florida, it's going to be the greatest feeling ever. And we're going to feel so accomplished. And then winning the game on top of that, obviously, is just It's the greatest feeling. I've been on both ends, lost my freshman year, and then we won the Rose Bowl. Definitely a lot more excitement. It's a much more fun feeling. But, you know, the whole thing with the bowl trips and all the events that you get to go to with the team. And, you know, like I mentioned, you kind of get that those couple of days off at the beginning with your teammates and coaches to kind of travel around a city that you've never been to and really just enjoy it with really your family. It's really a unique experience where you just have you get to go outside and you've got shuttles just ready to take you anywhere and just food at whenever you want it, which, you know, that's my favorite thing, Jim. I mean, we're talking food from a different region in the country. I'm all in. So no, it's a really overall, it is a fantastic experience. And, you know, I think there's a reason that a lot of guys want to play and want to be there for the team. I think it speaks to a lot, speaks to the team, speaks to the culture, and, you know, speaks to the culture that Coach Franklin specifically built for this team and the guys they want to play for each other. I think that's what it comes to at the end of the day. If you have, you know, a team that guys that you love, coaches that you love, you're going to want to play for them. You want to finish this thing out right and get a, you know, send off your seniors and guys headed to the NFL with a big W in this Peach Bowl.
All right. Let's talk about this decision so many of these players have to make of sticking around another year at Penn State or declaring for the draft, going on to the NFL, which I'm sure is the dream of pretty much every player on the team to get there. But the decision is different for the different players. You mentioned Olu. He's going to be, what, one of the first five players picked, you know, if you're looking at some of those draft projections. It's pretty obvious to everybody, even the most casual fan. You go to the NFL. That's what you do. We were talking about Caden Wallace. Caden Wallace is not going to be a first-round pick, but what are all the things that go into this decision that maybe the fans may not be aware of? He's been there many years. It's, can you improve your draft status if you stay another year? Talk to me about all those things that tie into this decision.
Yeah, absolutely. There is a lot that goes into it. And I, you know, it kind of starts right towards the end of the season when you have a couple games left. And there starts to, those draft grades start to come out, and they'll contact the coaches at Penn State and say, hey, you know, I want film from this list of guys. And, you know, you start to give it a feel of, okay, this guy is looking, you know, fifth, sixth round, okay, second, third round. And then you start to have those conversations with them. You know, it depends where you are. Are you a fifth-year linebacker who's only getting older, only getting slower, and, you know, you have a sixth-round grade, and it's like, oh, no, you need to go. Coming back for your COVID year isn't going to do anything but make your draft stock drop. So there is a lot of that. And then there's also, you know, there's injuries. There's guys that they might be in their third year and they've had put together a couple good seasons, but they've been injured a couple times and, you know, they struggle with injuries and they just want to get to the league and try to get that money, because there's plenty of guys, and, you know, trust and believe that college football is immensely harder than the NFL from a standpoint of what it does to your body physically. The NFL, it is all about recovery. It's about getting in, you know, ice baths, boots, the boots that recover your legs, massages, all this stuff. And not to say that college football doesn't have those things, they do. But it's a lot more emphasis of, you know, we have a lift early in the lifts early in the morning, early, you know, 5 a.m. intense winter workouts, stuff like that. That stuff goes completely out the window when you're in the league. It's all about, you know, keeping your body right, staying healthy. In college, it's a little bit more break your body down, you know, get all those reps, punish the body. You're going to heal because you're young, that type of thing. And, you know, I've heard stories and I've talked to people where they get to the NFL and their bodies are so destroyed from college football and kind of what they've been through that they just can't play in the league. I've talked to a couple guys in the NFL that I know, and they say, you know, I'll ask them about, you know, a couple different guys on their team. And I've heard, you know, he's a great player, but his, you know, his knees, his shoulders are just not working anymore. They just don't work just because he's grinded way too hard in college, and it's hard. So, you know, some guys, you know, want to make that choice just for their bodies. I mean, college football is probably the hardest sport on your body you know, out there. It's really intense. So some guys, their bodies just, they can't take it anymore. And that's why it's really impressive. Some guys that are doing 6 years, even 7 years of college football, especially on a physical position, like the offensive line, D line, you know, someone who's hitting a lot, it really is impressive. And I can promise you, that's probably why you have not seen a 6 year college running back, is because, you know, even during the week, you have 2 days, a day of hitting, even during the season. And you know, it's not like that at all in the NFL. I mean, even in high school, you're trying to, it's, you know, it's a lot easier. It's, you're not taking as many hits on the body during the week, during the season. And they kind of just save that for the game. But in college, you know, you have two days of hitting during the week. So it is really hard on the body. So that does go into it. Guys' health, but there's a lot of factors, but at the end of the day, it comes down to what's in your best interest. And, you know, everybody's, you know, position is unique to what they decide. So, you know, obviously nobody's going to be fully judged by the players or the coaches on what their decision is. And, you know, we have the full support behind them, whoever makes whatever decision they feel is best for them and their family.
Well, it's why a new story that you're hearing or reading nationally is about schools offering NIL money to players to stay. You know, the big story recently is Marvin Harrison. Like, Ohio State's going to somehow find $15, $20 million to get him to stick around. Well, the fact is, still, what they don't understand is the elements that you brought up, but also in the NFL, you're not just fighting against that NFL's rookie contract. You're keeping that player 1 year away from their second contract, which is where the big money really comes in, Landon.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And also touching on, you know, you mentioned the guys are getting and a big NIL offers and stuff. And that is also completely changing the game. I mean, that there is, you know, not for everybody. And I don't think that Marvin Harrison story, from what I've heard, I don't think that's true. I don't think they just have $20 million to just give him. There's no way. And even in that, you know, Marvin Harrison is going to be a top wide receiver in the NFL. I'd be shocked if he wasn't. He's just so gifted. Like you mentioned, it doesn't make sense. That just keeps him 1 year longer away from that huge second contract that he's going to get, and really just be huge. But, you know, there's a lot of college coaches around here that are coming out, head coaches that are fed up from smaller schools, and they're saying, hey, my best 10 to 15 guys are all getting, you know, $100,000, $200,000 to go play somewhere else. And it's like, you know, we're a smaller school. They're maybe getting a little stipend, but they're not getting any NIL money. And I think, funny enough, Nick Saban kind of warned us about this. He said, you know, hey, these big schools, they're just going to keep taking all these players now with NIL and just offering these smaller school big name guys at these smaller schools, and they're just going to take them away. And I don't think you're going to see as many in the future, as many really talented guys come out of smaller schools, because I think, you know, it'll still happen, but I think there's gonna be a lot of those guys that have a, you know, a decent year, their freshman, sophomore year at a smaller school. And then they got, you know, a SEC Big Ten school coming in saying, hey, we got $200,000 for you. And he's sitting there making, you know, a 2000, you know, maybe $1,500 stipend a month. And he's saying, well, I got to get out of here. I can't turn that down. I think we'll continue to see a lot more of NIL problems, honestly. I think this is something that needs to be looked at a little bit closer by the NCAA. And I don't know exactly what direction we're going to go in, but I assume it's going to be a salary-based, you know, thing going forward. But there's a lot to look into. That's going to be hard. You know, players, there's going to be a union eventually. I don't know when that's going to happen, but there's a lot that goes into that. And then once you're a union, you're a worker, and you then what happens with the education piece of it? Is that optional? Is it taken away? Do they still have? I mean, there's a lot to get into with this NIL world, and it's, you know, really tricky.
You know, Landon, we've had requests for our listeners for more Landon. We are going to have more Landon this week. We get Landon back in for a second show. You just did a preview of our next show together, so make sure you look out for that. Thank you all for listening. Join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all our loyal listeners. As we approach the football offseason, a reminder that we will be here year-round talking Penn State football with all your old favorites, Dustin, T. Frank, Andy, and Jeff, along with newcomers, Landon and Sean. But that's not all. We plan on bringing you new shows on our podcast format where we take a more in-depth look at not only Penn State football, but also the other Penn State sports. So be sure to download our app, Keystone Sports.